Wow. My name's Kenny, and I'm an alcoholic. He told me a week ago, and so it's been going in and out of my mind for about a week here, and I've tried everything to get out of it, and couldn't do it, you know. Anyway, I'm going to tell you guys a little story about myself and why I believe that I began drinking, and a little bit about my life. I was attending a school here in Visalia, and I lived across the street. I was in third grade, and you know, just a normal third grade kid playing and doing the deal, you know. And we lived right across the street from the school. And I remember we had lunch one day, and we came out, and there was an ambulance at my house. So I took off running across the street, and I ran into the house. And what I found was my mom laying in a pool of blood. It freaked me out. I turned around to run out of the house, and there was my dad laying in a pool of blood. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I believe this has a little bit to do with my alcoholism, you know. It made me a very angry child, you know. I didn't feel that I had anything in common with other kids. You know, I moved in with my grandmother, and you know, it started a life of hate. You know, I hated everything, you know. I believed in God in third grade, and after this happened, I basically hated God. God had took my hero, you know, my dad. Anyway, you know, I kind of went through life bumping my head, fighting my way through life. Got in a lot of trouble, you know. And I found out that, you know, I could actually work this thing with my mom and dad. You know, when I got in trouble, you know, people understood why I was in trouble, you know. But anyway, as I grew up, I was in seventh grade, and I started into sports, you know, and that was something else to focus on, and I did real well in sports. And I got into high school, and I found alcohol, and I believe alcohol saved my life then. I was going crazy inside myself. The very first time that I drank, I got drunk. I mean, good and drunk, and you know, and that's how I drank. Every time I drank, I drank to get drunk, and I got in a lot of trouble. You know, I excelled in wrestling. I was a valley champ at 191, and while I was waiting to go to state, they caught me drinking. You know, I don't know if that would have ever went anywhere, but you know, sometimes I think about that, and my life could have been a whole lot different without the drink. You know, but And as I got a little older, I got in more trouble with fights. I was suspended like 36 times my junior year for fighting. You know, I was full of hate and anger. And when I drank, I fit in a little better, you know. And then when I got drunk, I got mean again. And, you know, it took a lot of years to figure out that as I got older, as I hit 18 years old, every time I drank, something would happen and I'd end up in jail. You know, and you know, I think about it now, I think it's kind of funny because it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that every time you drink, you go to jail. Well, it took me until I was 34 years old, you know. I never made it to prison. I was probably headed there, you know, and that scared the shit out of me, you know. I did not want to go to prison. I lived with my grandmother. She passed away this last year. She was a great woman to me, you know. You know, the times that I was drinking, I never thought of what a good home that I really had and how lucky I was, you know. But I really was. She cared. But You know, while I was drinking and partying, my grandmother was a very wealthy woman. And, you know, and I have a part in this. You know, I helped drain my grandmother down to nothing. You know, and I'm not proud of that at all. You know, every time that I wanted to drink or party or something, I'd go to grandma with the excuse, you know, like I did, you know, and anyway, as life went on, one day I'll never forget this. I was sitting out in the field, drunkard as shit, and I was thinking to myself, man, how am I going to stop? How am I going to stop? I have no idea. And I remember this, like, moment of clarity, and it's just simple, you know. God can help me do this, you know, and that's all I heard. And about 5 more years of drinking, that rung true, you know. I remember I started asking people for help, and you know, when you ask people for help, it's a trip. They really try to help you, you know. I asked this gal that I was seeing if she would help me get into a recovery home, which I knew nothing about recovery, and all I knew is that I hurt, and I was done. I didn't want to hurt anymore, you know. So I went to this interview, and they put me on this list. And I remember it being the hardest thing in the world to get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and actually make a phone call to this place, you know. But I did, you know. And on the fifth day of calling this house, I was thinking, man, this is crazy. I'll never get in there, you know. I was thinking the worst. And then, of course, there was a part of me saying, well, you know, maybe you should just go ahead and go have a drink, you know. So I head for the door and the phone rings, and it's Steve from Find Recovery, and he says, hey, Kenny, he says, pack your stuff. We got a bed for you. And of course, I went through all the deal. Hey, I don't have any clothes. I don't, you know, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that, you know. I'm so important, you know. But anyway, he just told me, he says, look, if you're not here by 3 o'clock today, I'm going to give the bed away. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I was still thinking about drinking too. And for the first time in my life, I made the right decision and I went to Pine. While I was at Pine, you know, it wasn't magical or anything. I was still pissed off. You know, I was living in a house with 21 guys and I didn't like none of them. You know, one of them shared a night and he was right next to me. And I'll never forget, I walked in the bedroom and he was on his knees in his DVDs, you know, and I walk in and I shake my head and I go, shit, you know, I started going to these meetings that they take you to all the time, and I started hearing a few things, like, get a sponsor, you know, and just simple shit like that. And I did. I found this sponsor, you know, and I thought, wow, I'll get a higher power too, you know, so I got a sponsor to be my higher power, you know. This guy had done an 8-year deal with Soledad, and he had tattoos all over him, and he was kind of scary looking, and I figured he might be able to kick my ass, so he'll be my higher power, you know. You know, I really believe God tricked me because I did pick the right guy at the right time. He walked me through these steps. We had a lot of good times together and he showed me what these steps are about, you know. And we started to work them and he started to show me where they came from, you know. I know there's a lot of controversy about this, but if you don't think these steps came from the Bible, I can show you where they came from. You know, and if you're not ready for that, that's okay. You know, just do your thing, you know. But this guy that I picked to be my sponsor, he was scary looking, and you know, I've always had this thing about people that have been in prison, you know, the rumors that you hear. And anyway, he wanted to spend a lot of time with me, and I was thinking, well, this is kind of strange, you know. One night he comes over and he says, hey, Jimmy, you're going to spend the night with me. And I went, oh, shit. You know, and so we sat there and we talked about the steps. And you know, he's laying on his bed and I'm laying on the floor backing closer over to this side, you know. And it was just a weird deal, you know, just my thinking, I guess. But anyway, he really was a good guy. And I know, without a doubt, that I wouldn't have made it without his guidance, you know. He took me through the steps. The one that really rings a bell with me is going and making an amends, you know. I was willing to do it, but not really willing, you know. And he walked me through a lot of them, you know, where I could make the amends, and I appreciate that. You know, if I get a little choked up here, I don't mean to, but my grandmother was the biggest amends that I needed to make. And I went over to her house and let me back up a minute. You know, I left Pine Recovery 21 days. And I'll never forget this. I walked out of Pine Recovery and there's a little church off to the right down the road this way. And I made it to that church, man, and I started crying. And I just went, wow, I just left the only thing that was working. You know, what am I going to do now? I have nowhere to go. You know, at the end of my drinking, I could go over to a friend's house, knock on the door, and hear, shh, be quiet, Skinny. Don't answer the door. You know, nobody wanted me around. You know, I'd burn all my bridges. Well, I lost my train of thought here. But anyway, I left Pine Recovery, and it's kind of ironic because my sponsor was from Tulare, and he worked in Tulare. And the day that I left Pine, I was walking, and I just took off walking. Hell, I was going to probably go stay at a dealer's house and stay sober, you know, or whatever, you know. I had no idea what I was going to do at that point. And my sponsor pulled up, and I said, what in the hell are you doing here? And he says, well, God sent me. And I went, wow, you know. And I thought about that night, because I'm kind of a slow thinker, you know. I don't think about shit right when it's said. I went home and I thought about that, and he was right. God did send him. And he picked me up and he says, come on, we're going to your grandmother's, and we're going to get you a clean and sober environment to live in. So I went to my grandmother's, and, you know, my grandmother even shut the door on me. But this time I went to my grandmother's, and I asked her if I could have a clean and sober environment to live in. And she said, sure, you know, and this is your last chance, Kenny. If you mess up this time, I'm done with you. So I lived there. I went to meetings. You know, when I left Pine, I knew that the meetings were what was going to save my ass, the program of AA. I knew it wasn't Pine Recovery. I knew that Pine was a place just to sit still and get the world off my back so I could start doing these steps. And that's what I did. And a lot of good things have happened to me in my life since I've been in AA. You know, my sponsor told me he wanted me to write down three things that I wanted to happen within a 10-year period. And I wrote these three things down. I wrote, I wanted my kids back, and I wanted a good job and a good home. And you know what? Within a year, I had all three. You know, it was kind of a trip. You got to be careful what you pray for. I was praying that I got my kids back. And I was waiting for the perfect time. Well, God saw different, you know, and just sent them. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You know, I got these kids and they rely on me. And you know, it just popped into my head. Okay, Kenny, it's time to do it. It's time to do the best thing that you can do for these kids. And I did. And They lived with me for 13 years. They're gone and married now, and they still like me. It's an amazing deal. But I'll never forget my 13-year-old when I first got her. It was about a month after having these kids, and my 13-year-old looks at me and she says, "You know, I wasn't angry at that point, but I was an angry man before that." She says, "Dad, you don't know what the hell you're doing, do you?" And I looked at her and I said, "You're right, but I'm going to learn, you know." And I did, you know, and I got a lot of help from AA. And, you know, I love AA, and I love the people of AA. And I know that, you know, I can tell you guys that I love you right here, and there might be some of you thinking, "Well, he's full of shit." Well, let me tell you something. If the people didn't love me when I got here, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, my first 2 years of sobriety, I hung out at the Alarm Club. And every time I needed somebody, they were there, you know. And I was pretty screwed up, man. I was afraid to leave the Alarm Club. And it turned out to be a good thing, you know. And then after 2 years of hanging out at the Alarm Club, then Pine Recovery asked me to come and apply for a position there. And I got the position. And I worked in recovery. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's no big deal that I worked in recovery. A lot of the people that do have a hard time, you know. But I told myself I'm going to keep going to those meetings no matter what. And I did. You know, I did not let Pine Recovery become my recovery. I don't know. I think God knew that I was screwed up enough to know that I needed 3 good years of recovery before I left and went back to work. Okay, now my working thing. I pretty much worked all of my life, hit and miss here. And at the end of my drinking, I seemed to shut all the doors. You know, I went over to a contractor's house one time, and it was over money, but he was fighting with me about money, and I just wanted him to pay me, and it got a little heated, you know, and so I hit him, you know, in his own house, you know. What an idiot, you know, what an idiot. And that's where alcohol took me, you know. And it's kind of funny because when I went back to work after 3 years of recovery in construction, I went to work for the guy I hit, you know, and I apologized to him, and I made it right, you know, as much as I could, you know, and I ended up working for him for 3 or 4 years, and I don't know, man, it's this program, you know, my sponsor kept telling me, "Kenny, turn it over," and I hated hearing that in the beginning. And he said, "Do the exact opposite of what you think." You know, and I started thinking to myself, what is the opposite of hate? You know, and the nearest I could come up with was love, you know. So maybe I need to start doing this love thing, you know. And at first, my idea of love was a little bit funky, you know. But, you know, as I've grown in the program, I've got to understand this thing of love, you know, and that's what my higher power is, you know. I believe that's what God is. And, you know, and it pretty much rings true to me because I can't explain love and I can't explain my higher power, you know. But I've done a lot of things in this program. Raising my kids was really something else. 2 girls. By myself, you know. And I was talking to my cousin the other day, and he said, "Man, boys are so much easier." I don't know, you know. I had a really tough time with my kids, but we made it, you know. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, though. You know, my sponsor also told me, you know, "Kenny, you need to look in that mirror. And you need to look at what you're doing and what's happening here, you know." And I look in the mirror and I see some asshole standing there, you know, I didn't want to look at, you know. And this guy from the Alano Club. You know, it's funny. He told me, he says, you know, Kenny, if you pray for 30 days in a row, I guarantee you, your life will change. And he says, and that's the only absolute that I know, and your life will totally change if you just pray for 30 days in a row. And I'm thinking, oh, bullshit. And then he tells me, I'll give you my Harley if it doesn't work. And I'm thinking, right on, I'm going to get me a Harley. And I get to praying, and I'm honestly praying, you know what I mean? And I hit my knees every night, and I ask God to help me. And somewhere along the 13th day, I look in the mirror, and I know I ain't getting a Harley. I see something that I've never seen since I was in third grade, and that was a smile on my own face, and it was real. And I owe that to AA, you know. Let's see. I'm running out. You know, if you're new and you don't know what you're doing here, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. If I can tell you anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's find God, you know. Find your higher power. And it doesn't have to be anybody else's higher power. It can be your own. And believe in it. And it'll save your life, you know. I remember, I think it was my first meeting, this one guy stood up and he says, I got 3 years. And I'm thinking, bullshit. Nobody gets 3 years. I can't even get 3 days. Well, I'm here to tell you I got 13 years, you know. And, you know, there's times that I feel spiritually fit. There's times that I do it to piss the people off that didn't want me to do it. You know, there's all kinds of reasons to stay sober. The best reason is to do it for yourself. But, I mean, I can stay sober for my grandmother. I can stay sober for my kids. I can stay sober for AA. I can stay sober for a lot of different things. You know, if I drink, I'll die. This I know. I shouldn't even be alive today the way I did it. You know what I mean? There's, you know, AA is kind of, it's like a chain thing. We help each other. You know, so if you're kicking someone's feet out from underneath them, you ain't doing AA. You know, if you're helping them along, welcome to the program. If you're kicking their feet out, you're kicking yourself out of AA. You know, I suggest that you know, in time really, to me, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If you got 2 days and the guy next to you's got 1 day, show him how you got the second day. You know, it's kind of funny how AA works. At 13 years, I don't know as much as I knew when I was 2 years sober. Everything kind of changes. You know, but what I've learned is I'm becoming open-minded to a lot of things. I'm willing to learn anything today. And when you ask me if I know something, and I don't know, I don't know. It's real simple, you know. Back when I was drinking, you could ask me if I knew something, and I knew it. And I'd show you how to screw it up, you know. But, you know, get yourself a sponsor if you're new. You know, if you're sitting up there and this is all just gibberish, find a sponsor, man. Obviously, something's not working right. You know, get you a sponsor that knows the program and lives the program. You know what I mean? You just one day at a time. You know, you don't have to get perfect at this. Just move forward slowly. You know, take it easy. You know, all that stuff that you hear when you first come in and pisses you off, listen to it, you know. Take it easy. Turn it over. Live and let live. You know, when I first came into AA, I remember looking at that making amends thing and thinking, wow, there's a guy out there I really want to whip his ass. You know, and then I read a little further and it's like, well, can't do that. You know, but that's where my thinking was, you know. I was pretty screwed up. And I'll tell you, I had this one guy come up to me and tell me that I was, and it felt kind of bad too. He told me, he goes, "Man, you're a part of the furniture around the Alano Club. You know what? I love that Alano Club. And I'll support that Alano Club with everything I got. That Alano Club saved my life. You know, it introduced me to AA. And I look over there, and they got chaos going on and all this and that. Big deal. Leave it alone. Don't worry about it. Go do the program." Another thing that scares me a little bit is when someone says, "I'm doing my program." I don't know about you guys, but my program almost killed me. You know, the program saved my life, you know. You know, I got to tell you this too. When I was new in recovery, my sponsor told me, leave the girls alone. So what do? I go over to New Visions and I find me a girl. And, you know, we ended up moving in together, and it was kind of funny. One day I come home from work, and it's just not working, you know, for me. And I go in and I tell her, I said, "Victoria, this is just, I got to go, man. This is not doing it." And she went, "Phew, I'm so glad you came and talked to me." You know, and I was like, right on. You know, she felt the same way I did, you know. And she didn't want the relationship anymore, and we became good friends, and she's in New York. I don't know what she's doing, but she's in New York. And she was sober the last time I seen her. And, you know, and I can honestly say I love her, you know. I've learned how to love people today. You know, I don't have to be that badass that I thought I was, going around whipping ass. Really makes you an idiot. Made me an idiot. You know, I used to pride myself on this stupid stuff. You know, if somebody didn't look at, or somebody looked at me sideways, I'd fight with them. Man, I'm a big old poo butt today, and I like that. You know, I got a heart, and I'll help anybody. I don't care. You know, and another thing that I've learned here is God made one race. The human race, and we all need his help, you know. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you're here tonight and you drank like I did, you got your ass kicked by alcohol, and you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what shape you are, it'll kick your ass. It wants you dead, and this program wants you to live. So choose the program. Anyway, I don't know where I'm at and how long I've been, but I'm pretty much done. And I want to thank you guys. My mom and dad, and therefore I just figured I was pissed off at him. And then I realized that my dad took my mom and dad, God was okay. And I started to you know, when you do your 11th step, you sought through prayer and meditation to improve your conscious contact with God as your understanding. Well, that could be a lot of things. You know, you can go to church, you can do whatever you want to do, you know. You're free. Find your higher power, you know. It's really nice that when you hit your knees, that you feel this connection, and it's a direct connection, you know. There's nothing like it, you know. And I can't tell you exactly when I found it. I don't think he was ever lost, you know. But
okay, yes, you're trying to do that, and I don't appreciate that. Can you give us a review?
A what?
A review.
Bruce Springsteen. I'm kind of hungry.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Keep doing it. My experience with praying is God hears everything. I mean, whatever you want to pray. I talk to him like I would talk to a friend, you know, and I don't know, you know, I just feel connected. You got a question?
Pardon?
Well, that's kind of a strange deal. You know, in the AA book, it says lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what the book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And you know, when I found God, the drink was gone. And everything else. You know what I mean? Thanks. Jimmy.
Are there any prayers in the big book or is it 12x12 weekly?
In the 12x12, there's a prayer. And that's the prayer that I did say for 30 days. And it's on page 100, I believe. Yeah. What's that? 99. Well, it's close. By the time you're done with it, you're on 100. But it's a really good prayer. You know what? I suggest when you pray that prayer, because the first time you do it, you just kind of rattle it off. Study. And understand what you're saying and asking for. You know, AA, you hear it sometimes, you've got to love to be loved. You know, that's so true. You know, if you're not feeling loved right now, we'll start loving somebody. And next week, you will be loved. You know what I mean? Okay, anybody else? Bill.
Yeah, Kenny, is there one particular step that really changed things for you the most?
First step. Well, you know, when I gave my will up, first of all, you got to know what your will is. You know, and I found out my will was to self-destruct. And God's will was for me to love. And that's the closest thing I can tell you. And to love means to help people. And it doesn't matter who they are. You know, my sponsor one time told me, it's real easy to sponsor people that you like. Try sponsoring someone that you don't like and helping them get it. You know what I mean? And I did that. I sponsored this guy. He was just irritating to me. And I sponsored him, and I grew to love him. And today, he's one of my good friends, you know? I don't know. Anybody else? Go ahead. My sponsor, he's still alive, but he had some kind of heart condition, and he's not the same. I still see him all the time, but I moved on because I needed the help, and he's one of my best friends, you know, my experience with any of the guys that I've sponsored, they become my good friends, you know? And then it happens that they sponsor me. And then we sponsor each other. And that's the way it goes. You know, I don't let that sponsor thing go to my head. It doesn't mean I'm a step above you. It doesn't mean I'm a step below you. It means we're equal, you know? Anybody else? Any of you guys got any questions back there?
How about that, Kenny? How did you
Well, my first sponsor I chose was craziness. And God tricked me and found the right guy. Evidently, God thought I was ready and gave me a good shot at it. Today, I found my sponsor by the way he walks in life, the way he talks to people, the gentleness, you know. I like that in a person. I don't like all that craziness, you know what I mean? The guy is a very gentle guy, you know, and he never puts me down. He always builds me up, you know, and that's what I need. Anybody else? Louie.
How important is sponsorship when you're working your city?
Well, to me, it's kind of like what I said earlier. When you're working your program, you're in trouble. So you might want to find a sponsor to work the program. Because when I got here, I was only capable of working my program. And until this AA started to absorb into me, I was doing that craziness, you know? Yes?
Is there such a thing as outgoing sponsors?
I would believe so. You know, if you find yourself doing stuff that you believe is getting you closer to God and your sponsor is walking away, I think it's time to find a new sponsor. You know? Yes? Through my grandmother's prayers, I think, you know, or somebody else's prayers, somebody who loved me and wanted to see me quit killing myself. You know, he's talking about the I don't know what tradition it is, it says for our group purpose there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he expresses himself in our group conscience, which means when we talk, he's here, and he guides us through this, you know, and it's kind of, you know, if you're new, that might kind of sound weird. You know, but I've seen it rings true. You know, as long as we're helping each other, God's here. And I've never seen God move like I've seen in AA. Never. You know, I'll share this with you. I was one time, I got a new truck and I was just taking a drive because I had never bought a new truck before. So I was taking a drive out towards Porterville and I was out in the back roads and I was working at Pine at the time. And one of the guys from Pine just got into a fight out in the middle of nowhere with his girlfriend. She kicked him out of the car. Well, guess who drives up in his new truck? Yeah. And I pulled up, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh man, this God thing is really working. This kid needs help. I said, get in the car. And took him back to Pine. He had 5 minutes to clock back in. You know, so God must have sent me there. You know, that's the way I believe it. You know, I also, when I was at Pine, I said a prayer. You know, I was trying to figure out this God thing, and I said, God, wake me up at 3:31 in the morning. I'm kind of checking to see if he's real, you know. And so I write it down on a piece of paper, and a lot of people say, well, you're testing God. Well, for some reason, I woke up at 3:31 in the morning with my eyes looking right at the clock, and I started shaking. Of course, the next morning I had the perfect reason, because that alarm clock in my head, you know, and I was trying to get God out of the picture here. And then finally I just told myself, shut up and let it be what it is, you know. Just shut up and let it be what it is. Maybe God's trying to prove to you that he is real. And he is real, you know. He's very real, you know. First of all, you know, we're all miracles. And there might be some of you that don't think that yet. You're a miracle. If you drank like I did and you did not drink today, you're a miracle. Because I could not even get out of bed without drinking. I shook so bad. You know, I had to have it. I don't know. This program is an amazing deal, and there's so much to it. And I wish I could touch on everything. You know, go ahead.
Do you see that picture?
Nope. No toe address. Matter of fact, you know, AA has given me a really cool job. I applied for a job up in Badger as taking care of a ranch, a horse ranch, and I got the job. And it's cool, man. It pays me good money. It pays for my house. It pays for everything, you know? I mean, I just kind of step out of the way and let God do his thing, you know? Just show up. Just show up. And he just keeps amazing me, you know? Anyway, where are we at? We're good? I want to thank you guys again. I love you guys.